You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona homeowners. It is 8 o'clock Saturday morning. It's the second Saturday of the month. That means we are talking trees with ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service, Rosie on the House certified arborist. And John, we've got to start off by fessing up, man.
Yes, we covered the tree of the month last month, and we talked about pomegranates again. Well, but that's all right. I do like pomegranates a lot, as you know.
We did it 2 months in a row.
I'm always ready to talk about them. But our tree of the month last month was actually the pistache tree. And
so what are we going to do? Because we've got the mesquite. And as we heard from people, we published in our home maintenance calendar what tree of the month we'll be talking about. So we have people that use the calendar that were excited to learn. And so are we going to compliment them, or are we going to cover mesquites today for everyone counting on mesquites?
We're going to do them both.
We're going to do them both.
Absolutely. I'm going to start out with answering some questions about the pistache tree. The pistache is an amazing deciduous tree. It loses its leaves in the winter, but it's one of the most dramatic fall color trees that we have in Arizona. In the low desert, there's plenty of deciduous fall color trees in the higher elevations, like in Flagstaff. But down in the valley, we have very few trees that really give you a nice dramatic push of color. The pistache is one of those few that is just a really beautiful fall tree. If you want a deciduous tree, great choice. I like them because they're also really compact. They have a nice shade. They're a nice shade canopy that is generally as wide as they are tall. So, you know, it's not going to be like a pine tree, which can be much taller than they are wide. And they're easily planted and grown here in the valley. They have two or three cultivars that are readily available at local nurseries. So you can go get a great pistache tree. And we really like the red push. It's the one that has the really brilliant red color. There's some others that have a more of a yellow leaf, like the one my wife and I bought. It's just amazing. I have this carpet of wonderful yellow leaves every fall.
And the red push, they call it that because the new growth is red. Come summertime, you can tell how much the tree's growing because it'll be red, and the green was from previous years.
From the previous years, that's right. They're just an incredibly durable tree too. No thorns. They just are an attractive tree. We just like them a lot. Just extremely nice symmetrical shape. If you're wanting one of those classic shade trees that has a central leader, an even distribution of foliage, whereas a lot of our desert trees can be pretty wispy and rangy, angular, where they droop down all the time. This tree has more of an upright growth habit, so it's going to give you a nice a branch canopy that you can train to grow high enough so you can walk under it. Just a really great tree all around.
And it is from the pistachio family, but this isn't a fruiting tree.
You're not going to get any fruit from it. No, there were some questions from one of our listeners who was waiting with bated breath for us to cover the pistache last month, wrote in and asked a few questions about it, about the amount of litter and the duration. She asked about the duration of the leaf drop. And that's a good question. Some trees start pretty early dropping leaves, and they'll continue for a long time, weeks and weeks of raking those leaves. Others trees seem to dump them all at once and they're done. And it really isn't so much a question of species as it is the quality of soil, the planting conditions. We found that some of our landscapes have four or five trees, identical species, planted the same time, all about the same size. One of them drops leaves earlier than the others. And it has to do with the soil conditions, the water availability, the stored nutrients. And sometimes the trees are just under a little bit more stress, so they'll drop their leaves earlier, and go ahead.
And do microclimates and weather have anything to do with that? Because it seems like
that could be another factor, sure.
My mulberries, if we don't get a freeze, it never fully drops all its leaves.
Yeah, that happens quite often in Arizona, particularly in the low desert, because we can have a very mild winter. It doesn't trigger that abscisic acid, which is responsible for causing the leaves to abscise and fall off the branches. And if that's not happening and it's a function often of the temperature, we don't have those nice spike temperatures that spike down pretty deep that triggers that activity. That sometimes our deciduous trees their leaves will persist deep into the winter, and you won't have that leaf drop and change and color change until later.
And I knew trees photosynthesized, but I never knew they let off acids and asynthesized it. I always learn something new with you.
Well, yeah, there's some several hormones, among them abscisic acid, which is responsible for leaves dropping. It's interesting, if they do carry their leaves right through the winter until spring, it's interesting what they'll do is they'll dump all their leaves before they put on the new growth. So sometimes you do have this late, dropping of all the leaves, and then the new growth comes. The push of the new growth, exactly.
Which I do love. I love the evergreens, but I do love something about watching year over year the new growth and all the sprouts, and you get these little clusters, and you're like, how's that going to turn into a leaf? And all of a sudden, you have this period of time, especially around our ash trees, where there's bees everywhere. They're just busy, 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 and it goes from all these little fuzzy balls.
Clusters,
You come home after a work day, and you've got these leaf sprouts.
Boom, yeah. Just almost overnight. Yeah, as far as the pistache goes, there is going to be a certain amount of litter with all deciduous trees, but and there's a certain amount of cleanup involved in it. But there's something about having deciduous trees that is so cool. You get that nice sense of the seasonality, which we lack here in the valley. We don't have four well-defined seasons. So to have a couple of deciduous trees in your yard at least gives you that sense of fall, and we love it. Even though there's a little bit of a litter pickup, and so I hope that answers the questions of our caller who wanted to know about the litter on those.
Now, you'd mentioned the pistache you have has a yellow.
Mm-hmm.
How many different varieties of pistache do we have? Because I'm going to end it by talking about the red push again.
Well, I just know of the couple that we've used. The one that have the more of a yellow leaf, then you've got the red push is probably the most popular. That's the one we hear the nurseries are always talking about, and the ones that have that dramatic red color.
And what I like about that most of all is they're grafted right here. Bernie's got his Arizona mm-hmm. Pistache Tree Company in Marana. They're hardy for Tucson. They're hardy for higher elevations, I think at least up to 3,500. And so many of our plants might come from big Monrovia growing yards in California or Oregon, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you can find something great that's here locally in your backyard, that makes that much better.
Yeah, thank goodness for our local nurseries and growers here who developed some cultivars. I think of, Arid Zone Trees and Mountain States, and they have some wonderful tree cultivars that they've developed specifically for low desert areas in our own state.
If you want to talk trees, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text to 411-923 or email at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We generally do get a picture or two of people saying, what tree is this? What tree is this? We're going to have quite a tree photo library here in another year or two.
Our mesquite tree, did you want to touch on that? We'll
give the mesquite tree a whole segment by itself.
All right.
Well, let's to give it its proper
honor.
I don't want to cram it in the last couple minutes of this segment. So we always talk about a tree of the month, and then we also have our monthly tree to do. So let's hit our first to do on our November Talking Trees calendar.
Well, we want to be able to back off on your pruning. This is time when, as the temperatures are dropping, you drop the dosage of pruning on almost all of our tree species. When you get into December and January, of course, our deciduous trees can be pruned. But as far as our evergreens go, especially our frost-sensitive trees, you want to be lightening up the pruning. Can pruning be done at all this time of year? Yes. How much? Well, if you want to do some light grooming of some of your trees. After these rains we've had recently, trees are just going crazy. I've been on properties all week, and it's just amazing how many the trees are flourishing. So some of those trees
all,
that might have
that
been...
All that rain, still warm.
I know. Well, they, it's all those that, that store nutrients, and they are just pushing new growth pretty late into the year. So you might have to do a little bit of grooming that you might have been able to in past years, waited until next spring to do. But you can do a little bit of grooming on even on your frost-sensitive trees like citrus. You can just be shaping those, taking the odd branch off here and there just to kind of tie you over until the new year when you can do a little heavier pruning. But no heavy pruning this time of year on any of your trees.
Not deciduous, not evergreen.
Well, your deciduous, you can do a little heavier, just normal pruning on those. We try to aim for about 20-25% of foliage reduction on any maximum at any one pruning cycle. And because the deciduous trees can be pruned fully, yes, you can give them their full dosage of pruning.
And is it better to prune a deciduous tree when it still has leaves on it, or when there's no leaves? Because when there's no leaves, it looks a lot different than it does when it does have leaves, but you don't want to cut out the photosynthesis. So do you mark the branches you want to cut off and wait till they drop and then trust that you mark the right ones? Or am I overthinking that?
Probably are overthinking it because, well, the branches
have a tendency to do that.
The branches, with or without leaves, you know, need to be pruned because they need to be pruned in terms of the structure that you're trying to, the objective you're trying to accomplish. So the only problem with waiting until all the leaves drop is you might end up not knowing which branches are dead or alive.
Good point. So we're talking trees with John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist and host of our Talking Trees monthly radio broadcast. It happens the second Saturday of the month right here at Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 30 years. We'll be back right after this.